praise our God. Hallelujah. Just feeling wonderful in my soul because of the goodness of my God, the faithfulness of my God. For all those that haven't heard the news, we have our church permit that was voted on Tuesday evening, a vote of 100% to give that permit. No questions asked anymore, nothing commented anymore. They just voted on it and said, yes, give them their permit. Amen. And then all got also suggestions and visions of future for the church. One gentleman said, well, when you're running your 4,000, then you can buy the lot next to you. And I'm thinking, wow, he's got a vision. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Amen. Praise our God. You can be seated again this morning. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I want to preach. I've titled my message this morning, Living the Good Life. And after I come to that title and wrote that title down, I thought, you know, somebody's probably used that terminology before. It's not an original of mine. It was original to this message, and it was the thought in my mind because of what I'm going to preach here this morning. So I did a little Google search on the good life. And I come up with a book that was written around 1932, or it was written about 1932 in the time of the Depression. And it was a man and a wife who decided that they were going to leave society behind, so to speak, and move up into the mountains and into the forest and show society that you could provide for yourself off a piece of land with trees and stones all over it. And they began to work of clearing off the stones, clearing out the trees, you know, just like the time of the pioneers. Begin to raise their own produce and begin to survive upon everything that they produced. And then they wrote a book about it, The Good Life. So when we look at this title and we look at these words, everybody out in the world will possibly have their own definition of the good life. A common terminology that I hear is I'm living the dream. So I looked that up. How did we survive without Google? I looked that up. I know. What does it mean? Living the dream. I wanted to make sure it wasn't anything bad. We need to do that nowadays. There's been a few things that I thought I'd title a message, found out what they use it for in the world. I said, nope, ain't using that. Living the dream. It just simply means that I'm living my life the way I want to live it. I've made the comment a time or two. I says, well, is it good or a nightmare? Because you may be living the dream, but it may be bringing a nightmare to your life. But what I'm after here this morning is giving you a definition from God's word of what the good life is. Oh, hallelujah. Because there's no better life than a life lived in surrender to Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. That is the good life. Amen? Hallelujah. Notice that the psalmist starts out, blessed is the man who God chooses, who God causes to approach unto him, that he can dwell in God's courts. And then he makes this statement, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Amen. That word goodness and house. All I can think of in my mind is the reality of the house is everything that God owns, everything that God has, everything that God is, his house. See, my house is everything that I have obtained, everything I have purchased, all the stuff in the house. I'd hate to move. I would. All the stuff I have in my garage, all of the stuff I have in my little shed, all that's my house. And my children are always welcome in my house. And they're welcome to anything in my house. And a lot of the things in my house still actually belong to them. They're theirs. They just never took them with them. I still got them. Most of those things, books, some clothes, different things they've done, different things we keep for keepsake, it's in my house. And you stop and think about this, you know, your house is where really you reflect who you are. You know, what you cherish, what you love. Your house is for your family. You know, that's kind of why, you know, we're older in years and we've added on to our house. Why? Did we need more room? I mean, you know, if I've got I don't need a whole lot of room. Just give me a place to sleep, eat, I'm fine, you know. But why did we add on to our house? Well, not just for us, but for family. So everyone could be together in the house. Praise God. And so here we see the goodness of thy house. And that word goodness simply means, in the widest sense, the best. Superlative, concretely, the best. The best beauty, the best gladness, the best welfare. That's what that word good means in the Hebrew. And the word superlative, it just means the highest in degree, surpassing all other things. So when the psalmist said, "We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house," he's saying we're going to be satisfied with the greatest wisdom, the greatest peace, the greatest power, the greatest protection. Everything is going to be to the greatest degree that comes from our God. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That's why it doesn't make any difference where we come from when we come to God. It doesn't make any difference of what our past is like when we come to God. He's washing that away, and now he's bringing us into newness of life. Hallelujah. And he's bringing us into the good life. Hallelujah. To where everything of his kingdom and everything of his house, hallelujah, is he going to bring right down into my life. Woo, praise be to our God. As I become a child of God, as I begin to move with God's plan of salvation. And notice here that it says, the man whom thou choosest and the man who you cause, hallelujah, to approach unto you. In James 4 and 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Amen. You see, the promise, and here's the best part. God promises that if I draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to me. But yet at the same time, God is the one that begins to work in my heart and in my mind to draw nigh to God. Hallelujah. You see, there's no good thing that dwells in man. And that's why God, by his Spirit, for Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. And so this is where grace comes alive. That you have any inkling at all to be in God's house means God's doing something in your life. Woo, hallelujah. God's doing what he's drawing. He's drawing. So we can draw nigh to him. Now, I realize, you know, I can come and get in this church. And I have drawn closer to God, in a sense, just by being here. But then I got to go farther to really move into the presence of God. So I can be in the building, but still not be in his presence. And yet the whole time that I'm in his building, I'm in his church, he is drawing me to be in his presence. Hallelujah. Because he wants to begin to satisfy my soul, my needs, my desires with his goodness. Hallelujah. With his best. Glory to God. Everything God has in store for you and I is always going to be categorized as the best. Hallelujah. Because that's what God operates with. He operates with the best. Hallelujah. Because he's God. Because he's righteous. Because he's holy. Because he's pure. Because he's love. Hallelujah. That means everything that he's got for me is going to be the best thing for my life. But we have to believe that. Because there's been some times in my life when I doubt. Lord, are you sure this is best? Woo! We start putting our mind frame to it. You know, and each one of us are different. Each one of us think different. Amen. We our minds operate the way God has created us. You know, different ones have come up with the thought of the four different temperaments that men and women are. And out of those four different temperaments, you can have some of every one of the temperaments. And you can have up to 16 characteristics, if you want, of the temperaments that they have kind of looked at men and women and derived this decision from. And basically, they're kind of right. Because we've been created by God. And though we may be diverse, when it comes to God, we can be a unit. Hallelujah. Because, I mean, it's just kind of proven in the temperament itself, you can have characteristics of all four. But you're still one. And I can't remember the names of them all. We've studied that. And actually, we've done some Bible study on that. And actually, it's really real, you know, because there's certain characteristics that some of us are prone to. Some of us get mad and just fly off the handle at the snap of a finger. And others of just, no big deal. Yeah, I've got a characteristic of both of those. It just depends on what it is. Amen. Praise God. But you see, we're real. But what we're after then is moving into the presence of God and getting that temperament under the control of God. Hallelujah. This is where victory is found. This is where power is found. This is where God begins to take those things that are natural to us, and he begins to perfect them to where they become an asset to our walk with God and our power with God and our obedience to God, and not just living for self. Amen. And so this is the good life. Amen. The goodness of God, the best of God. And God's the one that's instigating it. God's the one that's working it in us. I mean, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That's where our salvation comes from. That's who we must believe in. That's who we must encounter on a personal plane. Hallelujah. For that born again experience, for that regeneration, that newness of life, that's got to transpire. That's got to happen so I can start living the good life. So all the goodness of my God can start coming down from above and taking up and reside in this temple, in this house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh my. I mean, because we are now the temple of our God, living the good life. Psalm 27 and 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Hallelujah. Dwelling in the house of the Lord. And you'll notice a lot of times the house of the Lord, and then there's still another reference to his temple. Because this is talking about the goodness of God. This is talking about the possessions of God. This is talking about God and all of his ways and God and his hand. Hallelujah upon my life. And that's what we're after, church. We're after the hand of God upon our lives that we can behold the beauty of the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. And that beauty supersedes the beauty that we can imagine in our natural minds. The beauty of the Lord is the fact that everything about him is the best. It's the best. Hallelujah. The kindness, well, it's the best. The grace, it's the best. The love, it's the best. Everything about God is always the best. And what we're after is getting the best into our lives so we can be the best, or all we can be for him. The best we can be for him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. This is giving ourselves into his hand. Amen. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now this is interesting. Hang on with me here this morning as I go through these portions of scripture, because we're going to find that we've got a hunger and thirst, but then we're going to find that we don't hunger and thirst anymore. In Luke 1:53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Amen. Good things. Psalms 107:9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The best. The best of our God. Hallelujah. You see, it's there. It's all available to that child of God. Hallelujah. I mean, it's a lot of times it's like we're going hungry. We haven't eaten anything, but the refrigerator's full. Have you ever walked through the house and say, oh man, I'm hungry? You go open up the refrigerator and there's all kinds of food in there, but it just ain't what you're hungry for. And you close the doors. Man, we ain't got anything to eat. Woo! And yet inside that refrigerator door, there's apples, you know, there's carrots. Go to the freezer, might be an ice cream sandwich there, you know. But we're just kind of in one of those fickle moods. We just open it up, say, there just ain't anything here to eat. Yet the cupboards are full, yet the refrigerator's full. There's all kinds of food, but it's not what you want. Woo! You ever left church service? Says, man, I didn't get anything out of that. Is it because the cupboard was empty and the table wasn't spread? Or it just wasn't what you wanted? Woo! Because the table's always spread. And there's always a feast in the Father's house. But I got to get hungry to where I'm ready to eat what he brings. Amen. Because there's times I've come into the house and I was hungry. And I opened up the refrigerator and I wasn't looking for anything in particular. I was just looking for anything. And a carrot was fine. Hallelujah. Because I was hungry. Hallelujah. I mean, just whatever was there, if it was a leftover and wasn't green, it was fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I was hungry. See, the difference between really being hungry is you will take whatever's there that will satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. And God is always preparing the table. Hallelujah. And the hungry shall be filled. And the thirsty shall be filled. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm looking for whatever God has to bring into my life so I can have the good life. The best that God wants to bring unto me. In John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, now wait a minute. God said he's going to bless those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and now Jesus says those that come unto me are never going to hunger, never going to thirst. Well, wait a minute. What are we going to do here now? So which is it? It's both. Because when you come unto him and you're hungry and you're thirsty, he'll fill you. And you won't be hungry and thirsty anymore for that. But then you will begin to become hungry and thirsty again for that newness of life. Woo! It's just like the cycle of natural man. I mean, you can eat real good when you eat your breakfast. But guess what? Somewhere along about noon, 1 o'clock, maybe it's even all the way to 5 o'clock, you're going to get hungry again. And same when we come to Jesus Christ and we're hungering and thirsting and we have a need in our soul, He'll fill us. And we'll never have to hunger and thirst again for that. But we become hungry and thirsty again for those things that He begins to stir our soul about. See, once again, God's the instigator. God's the satisfier. God's the beginning. Woo! Hallelujah. He's the present. And He's the future. Glory to our God. And so we see then that it's God that's working the wonderful work in our lives that we can begin to live the good life. Hallelujah. There, once again, there is no life like that life in submission to God. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit of God and enjoying the Word of God. That is the best life. And seeing God work great things all around us in our lives. Psalms 36, 7 and 9. How excellent. There's that word excellent. That's the best. Hallelujah. Is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied. I like the way that these adverbs and adjectives are used in God's word. Abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. That word fatness, once again, is talking about the goodness, the things that God has. Hallelujah. For you. For you. For me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then that this, the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Well, not just pleasures. But river of pleasures. Not just a water fountain trickle. Doesn't everybody get frustrated at that water fountain over there? Starts out strong and he goes, nothing. Sorry, that's my fault. I've just turned it down because if I gave it its full force, it may spray water on that picture up there next to it. That's why I just turned it down to where if you just barely touch it, it'll give you full water every time. But if you get forceful with it, it just say nope. Woo, grab a hold of that. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see then it's not just pleasures, but it's the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. And grab a hold of this. In thy light shall we see light. The only way that you and I will see clearly is when we enter in to the presence of our God. The Spirit of God is not an option. It's a must. For we'll not be able to move in to that light so we can see light. See, that seems strange, okay? So how in the world I got to enter into light to see light? It means I got to get in God's presence so I can see clearly what His Word is telling me. You see, and that's why the enemy of our soul, the deceiver, the father of all lies, wants to deter us from rightly praising our God. Well, because he knows God's Word is true. And God's word declares that he inhabits the praise of his people Israel. It's God's word. And if God inhabits the praise of Israel, then he will inhabit the praise of his children. That's us. And the enemy knows that when you get in the presence of God, you find strength. You find courage. You find peace. And you find clearness of sight. to see him for what he is and God for who he is. You become wise to the tactics of the enemy. And that's the moment you can submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, I don't know if you've ever had those times in your life where you were asking God about some direction for your life. And you just ask and 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 ask. And you answer, no answer, no answer, no answer, no answer, no answer, no answer. Why? Because you're just asking, but you're not entering into his presence. So you see clearly of whether your asking is amiss. Are you asking a loaded question to God? Are you asking God to answer it the way you want it answered? You see what I'm saying? There's so many variables involved in our prayer life that, you know, a lot of times we're asking things we have no earthly idea why we're asking that way, other than it's just selfishness on our part. No, it's when you get into the presence of God and then you ask there. And then you will be able to see and hear clearly with no shadow of a doubt. You'll know God spoke to you. Amen. Hallelujah. That place is real, church. That's not an imaginary place and only for a certain few. No, that's just entering into the presence of God. How do you get there? Praise, worship, adoration, wanting to draw nigh to God. Hallelujah. And that's how you get there. That's how you draw nigh to God. You start magnifying him. You start exalting him. You start giving him the glory that's due his name. Hallelujah. And you just start entering into his presence, and his presence comes down. And it's in that place he'll speak. And you'll know it's him. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to go forth now walking in the Spirit. Walking in what he spoke to you, knowing that it was God that gave you the directive. Wow. That's how this church is in existence today. Because it was the directive of God. It was not what I wanted to do at all. Isn't it amazing how we always have our thoughts of what we think we can do and what we want to do and how we want to do it and... Oh, this is not. I'll back way up. When God called me to preach, I just said, yes, Lord, I'll preach your gospel. I didn't say yes to being a pastor. I didn't say yes to being an evangelist. I didn't say yes to being a school teacher. I just said, well, yes, Lord, I finally got to the place. I said, yes, Lord, I'll preach your gospel. And then he came later and said, oh, will you evangelize? I like my job, God. It's the best job I've ever had. I just got this job. And you want me to quit and go evangelize? Oh. Well, surely God made a mistake. Isn't it amazing? And maybe nobody else has ever done that but me. You know, well, God, you surely made a mistake on this. Why? Because it's not lining up with what's convenient. It's not lining up with what's easy. It's not lining up with something I'm familiar to do and well-trained to do. But what else could I do? When God asked, he wants an answer. So how did I get my answer? Well, I went to church on a Wednesday night. The pastor got up and preached about Abraham leaving. Oh, it started right there. I said, oh, you've got to be kidding me. He's preaching about leaving. God told Abraham, leave and go. And had no earthly idea where he was going. He just said, leave. Got to be kidding me. You ever had moments like that in church? Thinking pastor was in your room when you were praying? Yeah, in your closet hiding somewhere. I've actually had people come to me and says, were you in my closet last night? Because what you preach this morning is everything I prayed about last night and what I was wrestling with last night. And what you preach this morning has gave me all the answers that I've been looking for. It does happen that way. It does. Not that I go to people's closets. Please. No, not that. No. No. But the Holy Ghost was there. Hallelujah. And he moves that way. It's called a word of knowledge. It's called a word of wisdom. It shows up in preaching quite often. Hallelujah. So the preacher's preaching. Leave. Go. Oh, man. So I go to the altar. I'm going to pray about it. We say that a lot. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. And most of the time it's an excuse because we know what we're supposed to do. I'm going to pray about it. So I go to the altar. And when everybody else goes to the altar, and I'm praying about it. You know, I'm wrestling with God. I'm telling God, no. I can't do this. I have no revival scheduled. You know, if I quit my job, where am I going to make money? How am I going to pay my bills? I mean, logical questions. Which are right questions, really. Because you want to make sure to take care of your bills. You want to provide for your family. I mean, those are right things. And God's saying, quit your job. And then let these pastors know you've went full time. So I go to the altar to pray. Just like everybody else went to the altar and prayed. And everybody gets done. So I look around, I get done. I have an answer. No, there's not an answer. So everybody leaves. Except me and Sister Pepper. And now I begin to pray. I just start praying. I start pacing. You know, when I really get serious about it, I get up and I start walking. I start talking to God. I start pouring out my heart to God. And I'm walking. I'm walking back and forth across the back of that church. I'm praying. I probably prayed for 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. Finally, I got to that place again where the presence of God came down. And the Spirit of God spoke of what he wanted me to do. And I stopped, tears just running. And I said, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. Went in the next day, told him I was leaving. Said, God told me to quit my job, go preach revivals. They just kind of looked at me. Said, man, because they just had a big layoff. Said, man, I wish you would have told me earlier. I would have just laid you off. Could have drawn unemployment. Well, how God wanted it done. No. He wanted me to stress. No, he wanted me to have faith that when he said he wanted something done, that he would see to it that it was done. Long story short, it was done. Amen. I never went hungry, never went without paying my bills. Oh, I had to work from time to time. I didn't just get revival after revival. I got maybe three revivals. That was like in September, October, and I had three revivals scheduled in November, and that was it. After I told those pastors, a lot of pastors said, well, when you go full time, let me know. Called them up. I got three revivals to last me through 3 months and Christmas. Living the dream. Living the good life. Because it was a life of faith. It was a life of power. And God was with us. And provided for us continually. Well, sure, I had to work here and there, but I was well equipped to do such. You know, it's just wonderful. You can pick up all the trades all along your life when you're young and the things you learn when you're young. Amen. Pay attention when somebody's trying to teach you something. Amen. Praise our God. Because you never know when you're going to need it in the ministry. So what did I do? Well, I cut wood. For one thing, built fence. Another thing, did some welding jobs. Built a 20-foot gooseneck trailer. Wow. In my backyard. Woo. Praise our God. He never said it's going to be easy. But it provided. And we were provided for. And we preached revivals. And we saw God move. And the power of God come down hearts and lives. Man, saw one young man, the Cisneros know him, Brother Felix. saw God move in his life, and that was the very night in a revival service we preached that his life turned around. And he got serious about serving God. We saw the power of God move in that place like I'd never seen the power of God move before. And there was great opposition. But when it comes to God, opposition's nothing. Hallelujah. And God moved in that place. Oh, God moved in that place. You see, what I'm after is trying to bring you reality. That even though God's ways or what God's asking us to do may seem virtually impossible and may seem a real inconvenient, when God is leading it and God is asking it, it's the best thing that could ever be done. It's the good life. Amen. There's no greater place to be than in the will of God for your life. Hallelujah. No matter what battle may come, no matter what fiery trial may come, when you know that you are right where God wants you and you are doing what God wants you to do, you'll win the battle every time. Woo, praise be to our God. It's the good life, church. It's the good life. Hallelujah. And there's rivers of pleasure and there's a fountain of life. And in his light, we will see light. John 7:37, Jesus Christ in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Once again, the promise is an abundant supply. Those that believe on him, out of their belly, out of their life, out of their inner man, shall flow rivers of living water. Living the good life. Hallelujah, the Spirit of God. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want you to notice that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. But notice the first thing that is made a reference of what he did. Just simply doing good. I think a lot of times this is overlooked in Pentecostal circles. And we really want to emphasize on the miracles and the healings. Don't misunderstand me. I want those happening. Because Jesus, he healed all those that were oppressed of the devil. But this first statement is the first works, if you will. Doing good. You know what that means? That's exactly what it means. Doing good. Living the good life. Boop. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost. And with power. He was plugged in. But what did he do? Well, he just started looking good. Doing what was right. Treating everybody right. Woo! Loving his neighbor as himself. Walking in righteousness. Having the welfare of others on his mind and in his actions. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power to be good to people. To be kind to people. To love people. To overlook people. To forgive people. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about my Savior. I'm talking about God who became man. And as he walked as a man, he was anointed of the Holy Ghost and with power to do good. You and I are filled with the Holy Ghost so that we can do good. We can live for God. We can live God's ways. We can find joy and peace and power. It's the good life. Woo! It's the good life. Hallelujah. It's the life of Jesus Christ abiding in me. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of laying the hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's wonderful. That's truth. That is the power of God. But what we're missing is walking with God. What we're missing is doing good. What we're missing is doing right when the test comes. What we're missing is just allowing the Spirit of God to have control of our lives in our natural, common, everyday life. Doing good. Yeah. Amen. You know, that's something, somehow, some way, in my upbringing or in my temperament, it's just always kind of been in me to try to help somebody. It you know, just seeing somebody needs help, I'll just help them. Just help them. It's just something that's in me. I just want to help. You know, I guess it's the fix it in me. I don't know. If I see something, I want to fix it. And of course, that's sometimes kind of a detriment in the kingdom of God, because a lot of times I found myself trying to fix it and I couldn't fix it. Only God could. Church, God is able to do amazing things if we'll put our confidence and our trust in Him and we'll just walk with Him in our ordinary daily lives. Hallelujah. That's when we'll see the miracles. We'll see the miracles when we go about doing good. When we just go pray for people, we'll see miracles begin to happen. Why? Because it's a good thing to go pray for somebody. It's doing good. The welfare of others above ourselves. Doing good. Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power to do good. It's the good life. To display grace, to display long suffering, kindness, patience, goodness. Woo-hoo. Oh, did you catch on that? Those are some of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. See, it's just daily living for Jesus. There is a power for that. There's an anointing for that. And what we do is we separate that anointing only for miraculous things. But do you realize that if you treat your neighbor good, that's a miracle when they've treated you wrong? Woo! Hallelujah! Did you ever read there in the Beatitudes? I think it's the Beatitudes where Jesus said, you know, if they hit you on one cheek, go ahead and give them the other one. Let them hit it too. Wow! And of course, you know, then we get our own interpretation going in there sometimes. Says, all right, I'll give you that shot. I'll give you that shot. Now it's my turn. Woo! And we think we're being obedient to the word of God, but we're missing the spirit of the law. It's that goodness. It's that power to overcome self. Even pressed against the wall. Hallelujah. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. And what about doing good? Hallelujah. It's the good life. See, that's what God's after in your life, my life, that you and I would live the good life, allowing the Spirit of God to lead us, train us, shape us, mold us, bring all the goodness of God into our lives. Hallelujah. And what you will find is when we find ourselves in that type of submission to God and the Holy Ghost, then you will start finding the gifts of the Spirit being operated. You will start finding the working of miracles and the gifts of healings. And you will start finding all the power gifts being operated, because He's looking for men and women who will just live every day for Jesus. They won't change things because it's called business. Hello. They'll treat their neighbor right. They'll do what they said they'll do. Amen. Hallelujah. Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. And He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Living the good life. Oh my. You know, there's a word that was brought forth kind of in the definition of this Greek word, which just means good. Philanthropist. Thank you, Lord. I said it. A person who seeks to promote the welfare of others, especially by the generous donation of money to good causes. And of course, then there's all kinds of synonyms down through there, you know, just a backer, a contributor, a patron. And then it got a helper. And then the very last one, it said a good Samaritan. Wow. You know, the good Samaritan, the one that came along and picked up the guy who had been beat by robbers, you know, the religious crowd, they just walked on by. But the Samaritan stopped, poured in the oil and the wine, bound up his wounds, put him on his own animal, took him to the inn, took care of him, said, when I come back, if there's any more charges, I'll take care of those too. Wow. You realize where that story came from, why Jesus shared it? Because one of those religious individuals trying to show forth their spiritual said, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus told that story, and when he got done with it, now he said, who was the neighbor to this man? It's not a matter of who is my neighbor. Am I being the neighbor? It's not a matter of who do I help? Am I being a help? Hallelujah. You don't have to go very far. You'll find all kinds of people that need help. Hallelujah. Your neighbor needs help. Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oh, yeah. Treating others better than yourself. Esteeming others greater than yourself is what the word says. Praise our God. Living the good life. For in living that good life, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. He's always the same. That's where all the goodness comes from. Every good gift comes from God. Every ounce of goodness that will be found in my life came from my God. Hallelujah. And every part of my life that doesn't have goodness in it, well, it's still what I'm producing. And God's wanting to change it. Hallelujah. And God's wanting to change it. He's wanting me to have a better life. He's wanting me to live the good life. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Psalm 23:6, Sister Pepper's coming to the piano. Very, very, very familiar portion of Scripture. The closing part of Psalm chapter 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Now, I realize this has been depicted, and I think it's fine, it's okay, to the fact that God's goodness and God's mercy is in my life and has been with my life, and He is all around my life. But I want to throw another spin on it here this morning from what I have shared with us here this morning, is that my life should have a testimony of goodness and mercy following right behind me. Of the things that I have done for those that needed help. The things that I have done and sacrificed of myself for the needs of others. The mercy I have showed to those who have mistreated me. The goodness I have done for those that have despitefully used me. In other words, when you get to the end of your life and you look back, you see that you lived the good life. And you saw that everywhere that you went, you showed mercy. You were good. You were kind. You were gracious. You were long-suffering. Woo! Hallelujah. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because God has called my name. God has washed me clean. God has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has forgiven me of all my past. God has created a new creature inside of me. God has prepared this vessel for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the power of the blood, the cleansing of that heart. And now I can receive that power, that anointing of the Holy Ghost and power, that I can go forth and live the good life and bring healing to all those that are oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Because it's the best life you'll ever live. There's no dull moments in the life of a child of God. Hallelujah. But it is a continual growth, a continual joy, a continual peace with continual power as we walk with our God, living the good life, knowing that our strength and our power come from God Almighty, just to live in this world the way He wants us to live. Hallelujah. To walk the way He wants us to walk. To talk the way He wants us to talk. To forgive the way He wants us to forgive. To be gracious the way He wants us to be gracious. To be merciful the way He wants us to be merciful. If you're catching the picture, we are just living to be pleasing in His sight. The river of pleasure will flow from the throne of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand.
Beyond the open, there's a new